All right, welcome back to The Huddle with Rich and Artie right here on 101.3 ESPN. Rich, I'm very excited to get to our next guest. Joining us now from ESPN and ESPN2 and ESPN Radio and anything ESPN, it's George Sedano. How you doing, George?
Stinking genius. I'm great, man. Rich, how do you put up with this guy? All this yelling. I mean, this guy.
Well, it's the multi-million dollar long-term contract they gave me. I'll do anything.
Well, there you go. That'll make it work. Yeah.
I love it. Hey, George, look, I know you do a lot of NBA stuff. Let's start with a little Boston Celtics. You know, some people actually think they're not only one of the favorites for the Eastern Conference. This team may be a little bit of a long shot to make some noise for an NBA championship. Am I making too much of this? What are you thinking about the Celtics this year? Tell me your thoughts.
You got to pump the brakes a little bit there, Arnie. I don't know about winning a championship. Like, let's slow down here. Like, listen, I think that they've got one of the great young coaches in the league. I don't think there's any question about that. You talk to guys around this league, and they are enamored by Brad Stevens' ability to draw up a play. Like, that's the one thing everyone talks about, at how great he is at the technical stuff. On top of the fact that, you know, he's relatable. Like, he's not this yeller. He's not out there trying to tell people how smart he is or just trying to be condescending to his guys. Like, he is very relatable to players, which I think they enjoy, which is good because mostly that team is built with young players, or at least recently it's been built with young players until some of the additions like Al. But I think that's something they've got in their favor, having a guy like Al who is a steady a player as it comes in the NBA, right? Like, I mean, this is a guy that you know you can pencil in for 15 and 10 every single night, and I feel like the team needed someone like that. Ultimately, though, I think to take the next step, they're going to need another wing player to develop. Now, I don't know if Jaylen Brown is that guy. I don't think he is personally, but clearly he's way too young to make that determination. Like, I just don't know if I see the skill set needed to turn into Kawhi Leonard, which is what I think somebody I saw one day was trying to compare him to. I'm like, look, let's not compare him to the outlier, okay? You know, Kawhi Leonard couldn't shoot a lick when he got into the league, and yes, now he's a great shooter, but let's slow down. Not every guy turns into that guy. So I do think, though, they're the second-best team in the East. I think they've surpassed Toronto. I think Toronto comes back down to earth a little bit with DeRozan and Lowry. I feel like Lowry he just seems broken mentally sometimes out there ever since this last postseason. Like, he just hasn't been the same in these first couple of games. It's like it's carried over. But I do like Boston to be in the conference finals. But, yeah, I mean, I don't think they have any chance of beating the Cavs in a series yet.
George, their opponent tonight, the Chicago Bulls, handing them their only loss of the season so far. They're 3-0, seven new guys on the roster. And, I mean, where do you put them based on this early start?
Yeah, I think what they're doing is great now, and I've actually been surprised, clearly, by the shooting. Like, none of us thought they could shoot like this. I think the number before, up until their most recent game, I want to say between Wade, Butler, Rondo, and Michael Carter-Williams, who's now hurt, I think it was like 12 of 15 or 12 of 16 from beyond the arc, which is not sustainable. Wow. Let's be honest here, okay? Like, those guys are not those kind of shooters. So I think that they've had a great early start. I kind of had them as a 7 or 8 seed. I don't trust Rondo at this stage of his career. He's not the defender he was in Boston by any stretch of the imagination. And he's limited offensively. Like, he can get to the cup. He's a good passer, but he can't shoot. And that's going to eventually rear its ugly head. So as much as I think Dwayne still has gas left in the tank and Jimmy Butler's an ascending player, I think they've got a ceiling of about, you know, maybe now, you know, I may have underestimated them a little bit. Maybe they can be a 5 or 6 seed, but I think that's about what they are.
George Sedano from ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN Radio, joining us right here on The Huddle with Rich and Arnie on 101.3 ESPN. All right, over to my New York Knicks. Let's get serious. 1-2, I'm already freaking out. I can't go through another losing year. I got to at least make the playoffs. Show me something, George. Show me something. I mean, what? I can't take this anymore.
Well, let me tell you this. Let me ask you this. All right, so look, Porzingis is going to be a star.
Yes.
I'll give you that. Okay. So then you've got Carmelo.
Right.
You've got and then you got the new additions. You've
right.
got Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, and Brandon Jennings. Now, between those four guys I mentioned, how many good legs, Arnie? You tell me.
Not a lot, right?
Maybe three?
Three.
Maybe three? Yeah, so that's your problem right there. Like, those guys aren't going to stay healthy. Like, the biggest indicator of future injury is past injury.
Ugh.
Like, that's just the reality of the world we live in professional sports. And, yeah, look, could Derrick Rose show you flashes like we saw in the first half yesterday? Same with Brandon Jennings. Sure, you can see that. I just don't think you're going to see that on a consistent basis night in and night out. You can pencil Carmelo in for 24, 25 points a night. You can pencil in, you know, Porzingis at, you know, somewhere around, you know, 18 and 10 and with like two or three blocks. Yeah, I think you can pencil those guys in. The rest of those guys, I don't know what you have. And even with Noah, like, here's a guy like Phil Jackson was talking about, like, oh, I know he's got the shoulder injury, but I saw him in New York and I had him test out his shoulder. I had him hang from my arm, and I know clearly he was joking. But, yo, Phil, the biggest problem is not his shoulder. It's his knee, dude. It's been his knee for the last couple of years. Like, this is not the guy who was defensive player of the year a couple of years ago. Like, he just doesn't have that lateral mobility anymore. Does he have nights, again, just like the other two guys on offense, where you'll see some spring in his step? Sure. But talk to me in game 55 and 65 when you're trying to make the playoffs where he's going to be. Arnie, I'm sorry, buddy. The Knicks are about a 41-42 win team, and I don't know if that gets it done in the East.
I'd take that, though, okay, man. I'll take that.
I'll take anything that keeps him somewhat normal. So, and I emphasize the somewhat.
No question on the somewhat.
Yeah. George, you're hosting the ESPN2 show with a distinct Hispanic flavor. Why the move to TV, and what does that program kind of mean to you?
Well, it means a lot to me, obviously. Look, I think that at the end of the day, man, like, I think we all want to be one country, right? Like, we all want to be at the table. And I think that this show gives us the opportunity to sit at the table. You know, I've been doing stuff at ESPN for a number of years now. Even before I worked there, I was doing freelance stuff for them. But to have a show with a flair, because that, I'm glad you used that word, because the show's not in Spanish. Like, I think that's the one thing that people think the show is in Spanish. It's actually an English show. We talk English all the time. We did have Gary Sanchez on, the rookie from the Yankees.
Cool.
And we did an interview with him. It was only 3 minutes. But we did it in Spanish because he felt more comfortable speaking in Spanish. And I think what, you know, there'll be some accents like that occasionally where a guy, mostly baseball players, right, or maybe a boxer occasionally here or there, where the guys just, they show and they show off their personality when they can speak in their native language. Because, look, I speak Spanish, right? Like, my parents were Cuban, born in Cuba. You know, I was born in the States. And, you know, I can speak Spanish, but I'm thinking in English and then speaking Spanish. Whereas a guy like a kid like Gary Sanchez, who comes from the Dominican Republic, you know, he can speak English, but he doesn't sound great when he's speaking English because he's thinking in Spanish. And I can understand how that can be frustrating for guys when you don't know the language all that well or feel all that comfortable and maybe even insecure about it. So in those instances, we'll do that. And what we did is we did the interview in Spanish with subtitles. The producers went back and subtitled everything. And for 2.5-3 minutes, you got a fun interview with Gary Sanchez. And you can kind of get it even with the subtitles because he's laughing. You know, he's having a good time. And I think that's kind of what we wanted to show off a little bit, you know, every once in a while. But ultimately, we're doing the same stuff that every other show's doing. His and Hers, First Take, Highly Questionable, PTI. We're talking about the NFL. We're talking about NBA. We're talking college football, Major League Baseball. We're doing all of it. You know, will there be some, you know, flair or accents to, you know, some stuff that may be more personal to us as Hispanics? Yeah, occasionally, I think when it makes some sense. But yeah, that's what it is. It's about having a seat at the table and hopefully eventually opening the door for more people like me, man. Like, I grew up in this country, okay? Mm-hmm. And I didn't grow up watching soccer like most people. I'm Cuban. Like, I'm Caribbean. Like, we watch baseball and boxing. Like, that's what my dad grew me up on. You know what I mean? Like, I was all about watching, you know, who was fighting in the middleweights and the heavyweights. And I was following the Yankees as a kid, you know, because their spring training was in Fort Lauderdale and I grew up in Miami. So, yeah, I mean, look, it's a great opportunity and I couldn't pass it up when they brought it to my attention.
No, and you know what? I don't want to critique the show, but I think the only thing you're missing is like an older, balding New Yorker. So think about that.
Of course. Why wouldn't we have that?
It's a certain demographic, but I think you need to go after that. Hey, give me your thoughts on Game 7. This will be the most watched baseball game ever, George. I mean, I'm just so pumped up for this. It's unbelievable.
Well, I think it's going to be the most watched we've had in a really long time. Like, I'm guessing at least 35 million for this thing.
Wow.
And just to give you a gauge of where that is, The NFC and AFC title games last year got $50 million. I think if this thing is close in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning, we can get to that potentially. But I'm just setting a baseline at $35 million right now, which would be astronomical. It would be the most watched World Series game since at least 2004 when the Red Sox got rid of their curse. So I think that that's kind of the territory we're in. I like the Cubs tonight, man. Like, I think there's some fun karmic stuff here going on. Like, the city of Cleveland made a lot of fun of the Bay Area when they blew a 3-1 lead, right? And LeBron won that championship. And we know LeBron's been trolling them this week about it at his Halloween party.
Right.
So I feel like there's some cosmic stuff in the air where I think it'll finally go the Cubs' way, and we can all kind of point and laugh at Cleveland. And look, man, I get the Indians haven't won, you know, a gazillion years either. But they just won a title in that town. Like, LeBron just brought him a title. Like, give the Cubs fans something, for God's sake.
George, I understand you have an affinity for the Champlain Valley, the Burlington area, Vermont in general. Are we going to drag you up here this winter?
Yeah.
Dude, you tell me, man. I'm all about it. Like, let's go. And then we can go ski. We can have some brews. You know, like, no Ben and Jerry's. Too cold. I've never been to Ben and Jerry's. You know, like, I'm going out there to warm up. And Arnie Spanier can take me out. I know he's some sort of trust fund baby.
Yeah, you know it. So we're ready to roll, George. Hey, buddy, we got to do it again, man. I always appreciate you jumping on. So thanks a lot, and we'll catch up with you later on, George.
You got it, boys. Anytime.